Welcome everybody to another episode of Reel It In. I am your host Nick Sanchez, and I am joined by my co-host and little brother Gabe. Gabe, how are you doing today, buddy?
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? We are back again for another movie, another dissection of a film.
Yep.
And I'm feeling pretty good, I think.
Yeah. I'm feeling good about it, and we've got an exciting one today. I think it was a little bit. It wasn't our first choice.
It was
in
not.
A sense,
no.
But I think it's going to be a good one as far as the episode is concerned. I think, you know, it's. I was
glad we watched it.
I was glad
for
we
sure.
watched it. Yeah. I think it was. I think it's going to be a cool episode for sure. So, that being said, guys, welcome back. I know it's been a week. We took a week off from our Halloween episode. We were thinking about doing
a spooky countdown. Was what we
countdown
is what we were thinking, but
We decided not to. I guess
we just
really
got too busy. I think
that, and we just really weren't drawn in
to that movie. Yeah,
and you know, I know our whole thing was like, well, maybe there are movies that we don't necessarily like, and that could have been another one of those movies.
I think it was mainly just because we both don't like scary movies.
Yeah, and yeah, true. That's a true.
So that
point.
Was also like,
that's
if it was like point. A movie that we didn't know if we were gonna like, we would have gone seen it if it was like something else.
Right.
Yeah.
So, so we just decided to take the weekend off and, you know, kind of regroup on this weekend, and because there were a few movies that people were looking forward to as far as this weekend. But there was Terminator.
Terminator
was like the big opening release for theaters, I think, this weekend. Terminator Dark Fate, I think, is what it was called.
Yeah, I think that's what it's called.
So I know a lot of people have probably went and saw that. I wasn't necessarily a huge Terminator fan growing up.
I can't believe you just said that.
I wasn't a huge fan. I saw the first one, second one. This was supposed to be the sequel to the third movie.
Mm-hmm.
But the first one was great in a sense, in what it was.
Yeah.
But it just kind of lost me after that. It wasn't for me. But I mean, that's just me.
Yeah. I wouldn't have said that since we are on a movie podcast, and that's one of the biggest movies like ever, I feel like. But
yeah, I mean, obviously they're still making movies, right?
So yeah, it's doing something right.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately for me. I'm sure there are still
there are
people
definitely
that,
some
that are yeah. under, you know, they feel the same way I do.
100%.
Anyway, guys, so thank you so much for joining us back in on this episode 7. And we will announce what movie we'll be doing here in just a moment. But before then, I think we're going to do some fast facts.
All right, let's do it.
All right, Gabe. So fast facts, episode 7.
Mm-hmm.
This was really fun last time, so I figured we should do it again.
Yeah, I like it too.
On this one, so I'm gonna go ahead and take this first one here.
Okay, go for it.
So in our last episode, episode 6, which was Zombieland Double Tap, we did mention I don't know if it was middle or end of the episode, but
it was towards the end.
I think it was towards the end when we were talking about the zombie kill of the year, and how it was just an individual who basically scammed zombies into thinking he had a family of mannequins. And he kind of carjacked a building in Italy to fall on them. That building, we were close.
We were very close.
We called it the Leaning Tower of Isa, but we did also mention the correct name, which was the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Yeah.
And it is the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Yeah, it sounds a lot better with a P in there.
Yeah, it does. Now thinking back, it's quicken. Hey, give us credit. We were close.
Yeah,
we were on,
we're just two Texas boys that's never been to Europe. So
that's
true.
That's very true.
As close as it's going to get.
So we were close, but anyway.
Perfect. Speaking of Zombieland, Zombieland Double Tap has made $87.1 million worldwide, which doubles their budget on the movie, which is pretty good.
Nice.
Yeah, so
I figured that movie was going to do pretty well
just because of how well the first one came out.
Yeah,
you know, so it just kind of had to be. It was just one of those movies that everyone was just going to go see just because of that nostalgia of the first one.
Exactly.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But doubling the budget, I mean,
that's good.
Sequel?
Maybe.
It just shows that there's still a market
for that type of movie. Because it is, like, for us in particular, it is that spooky. It's not spooky, but it's like that, like you said, Halloween type of movie where it's
It's for bloody, the people that don't
but
like
it's
scary
also,
movies.
It's funny. It's just it's like Scream, or not Scream, like a Scary Movie, legit.
Kind of, yeah.
But obviously not as silly or
right. Yeah, yeah. And you know, I think like I said, it's for people that are like to want to get into the Halloween spirit.
Oh yeah.
But they don't necessarily like the jump scares. They don't necessarily like the intense feeling of you know the thriller aspect of it. It's just more of a laid back. Hey, these guys are gonna go smash some zombies' heads in. They're gonna make jokes and they're gonna say some stupid stuff and we're just gonna be there and we're gonna enjoy it and go along for the ride. So mm-hmm. I think that's it's very marketable. Obviously, in a sense, they doubled their profit or doubled their budget. So there's a possibility. There is a door open for them.
Yeah, I mean they can do with it which they want. So we'll see what that entails.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, so that was the second fact. So the next fact that we got here is The Irishman, which is a film
we were going to do this week.
We were going to do that
because it looks really good.
It does look really good. It's a Netflix film. It released out in theaters this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
However, it will release
selected theaters. Very,
that's
very
the issue
selective.
That we had, mm-hmm. Which is why we're not doing Irishman this weekend, is because there are no theaters in Texas that are showing the movie.
Yeah.
Which I find complete bull.
Yeah,
I was really upset about that.
Yeah.
So the film itself will actually release on Netflix November 27th, which is the day before Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
which
mm-hmm.
is also the day
that
Knives Out comes out.
Yeah.
As well as Queen and Slim.
Oh God.
So those three movies in itself are just going to be an exciting day as far as films, I think, in just in general.
Do we go to a movie early that day and watch a Netflix and put a fusion like that Lion King episode?
Oh, which one we liked more?
Maybe.
I feel like it would have to be The Irishman and Queen and Slim.
I mean, Knives Out would also be, because The Irishman and Knives Out are about like, Irishman's like gangsters type of related, I think.
Well,
and then
yeah.
Knives Out is like a murder mystery.
Yeah, but I feel like Knives Out is more on I feel like Queen and Slim is more of a deeper movie, which is what I feel like The Irishman is going to be.
Okay. So I mean, like, I respect it. They're all going to be good.
They're both.
All three of them are going to be really good.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you on that one. I just didn't. I feel like if we were to compare,
it would be more of a comparison.
To compare.
And it's because I'm pretty sure The Irishman is kind of like that gang type of like mafia type of stuff, and I guess so would Queen and Slim.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, with kind of not really gangster. Like,
it's not gang,
but it's like
the people versus the
like
the
government. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So I mean, we'll figure it out. But I mean, just those three movies releasing in general, I think is going to be just a great day.
Yeah, it's gonna be cool.
As I said. So anyway, that was the reason why we weren't able to do The Irishman this weekend. But hopefully soon.
Yeah, hopefully
we will get some information. On
it looks really good.
It does look really good.
Yeah. We can move on. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse 2 has been announced. I'm not sure if it is Spider-Verse 2 or if it has some sort of other thing, but it's announced, I think, in 2022, which is exciting because that's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
Like, that first one.
It's got a different
hit
vibe.
A lot of people differently.
It's got a very different vibe and a really cool vibe. It brings comic books and action, animation. All together in this
mm-hmm.
really cool new way of seeing animation and seeing a superhero movie.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really see. I mean, you see like the Cartoon Network or you know those animation
mm-hmm.
superhero Justice League, all that good stuff
mm-hmm.
On TV. But this is something that was brought to the film world, and just the look of it and the delivery of making this movie. The first one, I was very impressed with it.
And I loved, one of my favorite things about the movie was Miles Morales, which it was just kind of a little cultural infusion with his African-American dad and his Latino mother.
Yeah, it was definitely a different way of seeing a main character.
Yeah, for
Spider-Man.
A superhero especially.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so.
Agreed, but that's exciting.
That is exciting.
I'm
that's why I like it a lot.
There you go. There's one reason to look forward to 2022.
Yeah,
for sure. That's cool.
I think that's the only reason why you would look forward to 2022.
I mean, I guess as of right now.
Nah, maybe. I'm just kidding.
Maybe, who knows? Okay. Well, so the next one, we actually have an announcement as far as a new platform that we are really excited, I think, to be a part of, or to be to have extended to us for more content and more
entertainment,
films and entertainment, and you know, TV shows and stuff like that. We've mentioned it a couple of times on the last couple of episodes, mm-hmm. but we are very excited that
Disney Plus
is coming out, man.
Yeah, in it's, like what is today? In like a week and a half, almost.
Yeah, in about a week.
No, about and a half. Yeah, about a week, 2 weeks. I mean,
yeah, it's November 12th that mm-hmm. it releases. It is an ad-free service that starts at $6.99 per month.
Which is so cheap.
Super cheap. Super yeah. affordable. And for it to be ad-free. Like, who? I hate commercials.
Is it ad-free?
It's ad-free.
How much is Netflix a month now?
It's
like 15, right?
It's like, yeah, 14,
18 almost?
A month.
No?
14. It's like 14, 15 a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's not bad, too.
I mean, that's
but six
as well.
It's crazy.
You know? And Netflix brings you, obviously, a whole lot of new, different content, mm-hmm. Netflix originals and all that good stuff. So, you know, Disney is definitely coming for that piece of the pie.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, so $6.99 a month, or you can opt for the $70 a month, or I'm sorry, $70 a year plan, which brings that down to like $6 a month.
Yeah.
Less than $6 a month.
Yeah, which is crazy.
So again, super affordable. You can sign up through the Disney Plus website, but if you wait until the launch date, which is November 12th, you can not only get a 7-day free trial, but you can sign up for the Disney Plus bundle deal, which is the bundle that we had mentioned earlier. I just didn't know what it all entailed,
mm-hmm.
but it is a bundle deal, which you will be given a subscription to Hulu, ESPN Plus and Disney Plus, all for $13 a month.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm definitely we're definitely gonna yeah, figure
we're gonna
out
split
what kind
some
of plan.
Sort of way because you also get what
oh so you,
four
the
screens
cool thing you get four
simultaneous
up to four simultaneous screens or, is, or devices
yeah.
to stream that, which is insane.
That
which
is crazy.
Nuts.
That is crazy.
You get like two, I think, for Netflix, and I think like up to three with some other streaming services.
Yeah,
but for Disney Plus to say, hey, not only can you get a subscription with us for like $6 or less,
yeah,
but
you can watch it on your TV, you can watch it on your tablet,
on your phone,
your phone and your computer all at once. If
all
you want
once.
To watch four different things all at once, just yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
So with one subscription. So
yeah.
Disney is really coming out strong, really, you know, shooting for the stars in regards to the streaming service. I appreciate that in a sense of, you know, just my enjoyment of the entertainment industry.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
And, you know, they're bringing new shows. They're doing just like Netflix. Netflix originals, but Disney Plus originals.
Yep.
You know, so
first one we could think of is Mandalorian.
Mandalorian.
I'm trying to see if Nick is going to want us to, like, binge watch it and then just get our thoughts out on it. Thoughts out on it.
I do, because it releases on November 12th with the launch.
It's going to be amazing.
Service,
I cannot wait.
Or the launch of the service. I know. So, I mean, there's that. There is, there's also a Lady of the Tramp live action.
Does that come out immediately?
Yeah. All this launches with the launch of the streaming service.
Okay.
So, Mandalorian releases, Lady of the Tramp live action releases. I think there's a couple of other things that are also on the books for release on November 12th.
Yeah, there's a lot, I think.
So, it's Disney, like I said, swinging, I mean, just haymakers right now. And I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Very excited.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the last announcement I had.
Okay, this is a big one.
And yeah, this next one.
This is a milestone for our podcast, I'd say.
I think so, too.
Okay. I think everyone is excited to hear about this.
Yes.
So, we have been talking about the giveaway.
Yep.
We hit our mark.
We did.
We gave you the code word.
Smoky.
Y'all entered the code word.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a winner.
We have a winner.
Congratulations at _Lynn14_Lynn.
Heyo!
You win two movie tickets and some popcorn.
And a box of Orville Redenbacher popcorn.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yes, our first giveaway winner. Thank you guys for entering. Thank you guys for listening. We really do appreciate it. And again, we just want to continue to grow and continue to get better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hit that follow button. Our Twitter is @ReelItInPodcast. Again, that's at REEL It In Podcast on Twitter, and our Instagram is at Reel It In Podcast, but with underscores in between all of the words.
Yeah, and go ahead and just shoot us any DMs at any times. Like, if you think we should maybe mix something up or have a segment or any sort of suggestions on movies or shows, criticism. And we'll just, if we all want to hear it, we'll think about, we'll probably do it. Like, we'll probably set some sort of schedule for us to watch a movie or maybe a TV show. So shoot us y'all's thoughts and just let us know.
Yeah, very open-minded to new things, guys, and new genres and all sorts of stuff. So, you know, we want to watch as also what you guys are watching and want to engage you as best as we can. So, yes, our DMs are open. Come say hi, and you know, we'll definitely talk and get something going. So again, congratulations to _Lynn14_Lynn. Thank you so much for entering. And I think that concludes Fast Facts.
Yeah, I think so. I'm ready to get into it. So
you want
to
do some general thoughts on the movie, which for episode 7 we haven't actually announced it yet.
Yeah, we haven't. It is
the
you can go for it.
It is The King.
Yeah, Netflix original.
Netflix. It's a Netflix original film.
Yeah.
So episode 7, The King, coming at you with some general thoughts. Here we go. All right, Gabe. So Netflix original film, The King, starring Timothy Chalamet.
I'm surprised you got that correct. I've been looking at it and I was like, how do you say that?
It's yeah.
I was gonna say Chalamet.
Hey, don't people get it? I think wrong.
Is that how, you know for
it's,
a fact?
I know
that's
for
how it
a
is.
Fact it's Chalamet.
That sounds nice.
It's a cool name.
That's a cool name.
Mm-hmm. Timothy Chalamet, another big name. Robert Pattinson, who is in Twilight.
Bro, the whole time I was like, what is this guy's name? I know who this is from. He's a vampire.
Yeah. Yeah. Robert Pattinson, who is also, has he been named lead in the new Batman series?
This is news to me.
If I'm not mistaken, again, this could be a fast fact for next episode. If I'm not mistaken, either he is going to be the next Batman.
What?
Or they are seriously considering him to be the next Batman. I don't know how true either of those statements is, but I'm pretty sure that's what I've heard.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to double check that because I have not heard that at all. And I don't know if I'm down for it, but we'll see. But we will see.
I'm pretty sure it went viral. Everybody was giving their opinion. Like,
I'm sure.
No, I don't think he's going to be a good Batman. People were like, what are you talking about? Like, he would make a fantastic Bruce Wayne, fantastic Batman. So,
I mean, he looks like a Bruce Wayne.
He does look like a Bruce Wayne.
I just haven't seen a lot of his work to see if he's like that. I didn't really watch Twilight. He was really great in this.
He
was good in this one. His accent in this one was really good.
Yeah,
his French accent
was really good. So
maybe I'm being a little harsh.
We never know.
Yeah.
Ben Mendelsohn.
Mm-hmm.
He's a familiar face in the Star Wars and in what's that film? The one with the sibling rivalry. It's on Netflix.
Quick 'em.
What is it called? Bloodline.
I never watched Bloodline.
Dude, it's a great
show.
I
watched the first season, I think, and then I just stopped.
Yeah, it is a great show. Ben Mendelsohn, he's...
Is he the black sheep?
The black sheep, what do you mean?
Is he the black sheep of that family in Bloodline?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he's the one that does the drugs and all that, and they end up...
Okay, we don't have to get into it, but yeah.
Yeah. We're not... Yeah, no spoilers.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's also... he was in Star Wars Rogue One. He was in Captain Marvel as the Skrull guy. Also in Robin Hood. Yeah, so he's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, for
sure. Very familiar face. Mm-hmm. And Joel Edgerton as well. He's a familiar face. He's as well in this movie. A good cast. The King, Netflix film original, released this weekend. And it released in theaters about a month ago.
Yep.
Did the same thing with
As Irishman
is doing right now. General thoughts. I guess we can give some... You want to give some background on this movie?
Do you want to go for it?
Sure. I mean, I can do it. Yeah. Okay. So basically, Timothy Chalamet plays King. It's a historical drama.
Just call him the Fifth and then his dad the
Fourth.
Yeah. Don't do Henry the Fifth, Henry the Fourth.
Okay.
Just do Fourth and Fifth.
Fourth and Fifth. Yeah. So Timothy Chalamet plays King Henry the Fifth.
Correct.
And Ben Mendelsohn plays his father, who is the Fourth.
Correct.
Henry the Fourth. Okay, so moving forward, we'll do the fifth and the fourth.
Yes.
So basically, again, I think this is based off of the historical
is
data.
Is it like too...
I think it's
too like based on the real story.
What actually happened.
Really?
If I'm not mistaken. Again, we didn't get kind of like that based on true events in the beginning of the movie. But I do think this movie was based on
true events.
True events. Anyway, that could be wrong, and that could be a fast fact. Fast fact for next episode.
Yep.
I guess just in general, this is a movie about Timothée Chalamet, King Henry the Fifth.
There we go.
Becoming king.
Yes.
And just in a few words.
That is the shortest way you
can
put it.
That is the shortest way I can put
it. That was the biggest, longest buildup I've ever seen for someone just to say that.
Yeah, I know. And I apologize because I don't want to explain too much of it because I feel like when I explain it, I give away spoilers.
Do you want me to go for it?
Sure.
So what it's the how it starts off is pretty much the Fifth and his dad do not get along, and he doesn't like how his dad is running England, and he kind of leaves that area and I don't know how long he's been gone. It's never been told how long he's been gone. And eventually they bring him in and they have different views of opinion. And literally that's kind of where it all starts to go down. And it's very short into the movie. Once you get started talking to it, spoilers, but that's the gist of it, is that they just don't look at the same views on how to run the country. And yeah, I see where you're coming from because it's very early where there's some spoilers that we could be saying.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. And again, just in the fewest words that I can think of, it's basically King Henry the Fifth's story, or I know the Fifth. Okay. Sorry. the Fifth's character story to becoming King of England.
Yes.
And, you know, because I don't want to get too spoilery because, again, how he does that and who he
what happens,
you're getting into spoilers. And so I don't want to do that. That's what it is. That's the cast who is a part of this movie. Gabe, who do you think who was your favorite character in this movie?
Scroll up a little bit.
Okay.
See, the thing is that I probably liked Falstaff the most,
okay,
which is one of his friends that he makes, mm-hmm. The Fifth. But I really liked Timothy's acting.
Yeah.
And I just really liked watching his speeches and his monologues.
Yeah.
Because it was very entertaining. And I was like, when they were about to go to the battle for a few times, that's not a spoiler because we obviously know it's a medieval movie that says there's going to be battles. Mm-hmm. He gives speech to his men. And I was like, I'm ready to fight. Like I was just ready to jump off the couch. Like legit, it was a good speech, and the way he was just going at it was very believable. And how I would imagine it is actually in real battle.
Yeah, that's what.
And once it came up, once it happened, I was like, I wonder how many times they had to take it, like how many times they had to shoot that shot to see how good it came out for that one time. Because it was just like, dang, that was pretty perfect. For me, I thought. Really liked that speech.
Yeah, no, and you had mentioned something when you were talking just now that he was very believable. He was very believable throughout this whole entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way that he presented.
He was very dry. Like, his character was naturally kind of dry.
Mm-hmm.
And just how he, like, received information initially.
Yeah.
And it was, like, when people were trying to insult him, he would be very deaf stare, like, okay, like, whatever you have to say. Like, I don't care, really. Yeah,
he came off as a character. This is how I best describe him as far as playing the Fifth.
Nice, dude. We're catching on. We're moving.
Is that he was a very nonchalant-seeming figure in a sense that he kind of was just there to be there, but in a sense still understood the responsibility that he had.
Correct, because he doesn't like to fight. He doesn't really believe in war.
Right.
Too much.
He is all about peace. He's all about everything. He doesn't care about conquering other nations. He doesn't care about really making a whole big name for himself.
He just wants peace within his own country,
within
which is England.
Within his own nation. And you know, for him, in order to achieve that, unfortunately, how the movie goes.
Exactly.
He has to sacrifice lives. And, you know, it's just, it kind of goes against some of his moral compass, you know, of who he is as a person. So,
and he really captures that whole description of how that character was supposed to be perceived.
Yeah.
I really thought he did a great job.
He did a really good job. And again, I wasn't expecting any less from him. You know, he's an Academy Award nominee. I don't even know if he might have even won. I don't know. But from this performance, I'm sure he will definitely be nominated for something as well. He did a really
I saw when we were looking up facts about the movie is that he's getting put up for best lead actor.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah. I wouldn't doubt it at all.
So we'll see.
Another individual who I think we should definitely talk about as well, which we've already kind of mentioned, is Robert Pattinson.
Yeah,
he was in really this good. Movie, who plays the Dauphin or the Dauphin. I forgot how they pronounce
Dauphin.
It. Dauphin.
Dauphin.
Yeah, is, I mean, yeah. What? This came out of right field for me.
Yeah, I saw him on there. I was like, whoa.
You know, you see him and you immediately think, you're like, okay, this is a guy from Twilight. And you think of him as, what was his guy's name? Edward?
Edward, yes.
Edward. And, you know, you kind of, but then he starts to talk.
Dude, it was nothing like I would have thought.
Yeah, he
starts
to talk. And it's just in this French accent that...
It's like kind of broken English, French accent.
And you're like, this guy's so talented.
Yeah, that was really good.
Like, you're like, holy crap. Like, he completely just takes on this character 100% and runs with it. And, you know, it's so weird to see those characters that, you know, that he came from a trilogy of movies that, you know, spanned over years. And then for him to not, you don't really see him in a lot of stuff, and then him come into this Netflix original movie and then just put on a performance like that, in a sense of being a French, you know, olden day 15th century character.
Yeah.
And, you know, to put on a performance such as that, I thought he did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
You know, and he even, I think, should be looked at for some sort of
supporting cast. Supporting.
Yeah. In my personal opinion, but that's kind of how I feel on Robert Pattinson.
A lot of the acting was really, really good.
Yeah, for being a kind of a medieval movie, usually
you have to be built off that storyline and the acting, because you don't have the special effects to kind of distract the people,
right?
Which is what I thought they did very well at.
Exactly, and that's exactly where I was going to go.
I knew
with that,
it. I knew
is
about
that
it.
you know because of the historic realism. Of this, of these stories, these types of medieval, back in the day, 15th century stories, you have to rely on the plot of what you're trying to portray.
Correct.
In this movie, but also you have to have the right people portraying those characters, portraying that story.
Mm-hmm.
And
the battle scenes need to be good still.
And the battle scenes need to be good.
Which they were.
I mean,
we'll get into that more.
Dude, yeah, that was. It was there's really only one big battle scene in this movie.
It was different though.
But it was cool to see.
It was
for
the
sure,
progression kinda, for sure.
Exactly.
And the strategy behind it.
Joel Egerton, again, you said Flagstaff or Falstaff, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
When
they said it, it always used to sound like Flagstaff.
And it could be the accents.
Yeah.
You know,
because every time I'd see it and I was like, it sounds like Flagstaff, but we had subtitles on.
Yeah.
And it was like Falstaff. And Falstaff. I was just like, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I also heard that Flagstaff when they were in the movie.
Yeah, he definitely does. He definitely pulls out the seriousness of the movie at times. He is the comedic kind of character, in a sense that, you know, he knows war. He's been there. He's done that.
He's like, I don't care about whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And very Conor McGregor-like.
Right. Yeah. And so his kind of character... of course, being the right-hand man of Timothy Chalamet V, it definitely works.
Mm-hmm.
It works really well in building that type of relationship between the two of them. Okay, so that being said, we've talked about a few of the main characters in this movie and the performances in which they placed in the movie and how I feel like we're both on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
As far as how well they've done. What do you give this? What do you give this as far as a...
I want to touch up on one more thing. I thought the setting of the movie was really good. I don't know where they filmed it in particular, but the fields and mainly where they fought in battle and stuff, and like where those kids were farming wood. That river scene. Yeah, that river scene.
Yeah, the scenery. Yeah,
the scenery was really nice there.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really cool. I'm gonna touch up on a little bit more of the acting.
Okay.
Yeah, the one actor I thought it could have been just me, and maybe I was just seeing it differently. I just want to get your opinion on it.
Okay.
How did you think of Timothy, his acting?
Thomas. The little brother. Okay, so there's another royalty member of the family. His name is Thomas.
Thomas. I don't know why. Oh, Timothy, I got from his actual name.
Yeah.
The fifth.
Yeah. So Thomas is played by Dean Charles Chapman. And I don't really know everything he's in. Go look him up if you want to see the stuff that he's in. But
did you get that vibe too, or is it just me? Was that being too harsh?
That he was kind of out of place? As far as his character?
That and just like the acting in particular.
I think he portrayed his character in a right sense.
It could have been just that too. It was very, I don't know, he just seemed very
immature,
which he was supposed to be young.
Again, like I said, I think he portrayed his character in a sense of who the character was, which was a young, immature, inexperienced.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Kid.
I'm starting to think it's kind of like Joffrey in Game of Thrones, and he was very immature, and I didn't like him as... But he was a good actor.
I was about to say, is this kid not in Game of Thrones? He might be in Game of Thrones.
Click on him, dude.
Now that I'm thinking about it.
He is in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, he plays one of Cersei's kids. He is one of the royalties in that show. The one that jumps off the window. You haven't seen Game of Thrones.
I haven't seen Game of Thrones.
I just now thought
I was like, yeah. I was like, why is he talking to me? Like, he knows this, that I have not seen Game of Thrones.
Oh, dude.
That being said, I've seen up to season 3. So I know Joffrey and everything, but I don't know past that.
Okay, so.
It
will not be spoilers at this point for Game of Thrones. If you haven't seen Game of Thrones.
Okay, yes, it would be.
Okay.
Do not say anything about it right now.
I'm going to say something about it.
Do not.
Right now. You don't want to know what happens to his character?
No. You're not going to
watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but you don't know who's going to listen to this is watching season 6 right now.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, fine. We won't talk about
it.
We will not talk about it.
God bless. Dude, definitely not talking about that.
Okay, fine. We won't talk about it. Go check out Game of Thrones. Dean Charles Chapman is in that if you want to check it out. But I think he portrays his character in The King, in this movie, the way that I expected for that character to be.
I guess you're right.
But I mean, I don't want to get into spoilers. Okay, so I was going to say something. It was definitely going to be spoilers.
I'm assuming, yeah. Okay, we'll just move right along because Nick's just on the spoil.
Yeah, I'm ready.
He really just wants to let people know what's going
everything
on.
Everything that we've been talking about.
You want to tell them about Lost too, even while you're at it?
It was all
okay.
Just, yeah.
I wouldn't mind that one.
Yeah, no, that one really pissed me off.
Game of Thrones, I think it hasn't even been a year though.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah,
be respectful.
I feel like that was such a big thing though that you, if you really wanted to watch it, you would have done it by now.
Okay, well,
just saying, in my personal opinion, but that could be wrong.
Yeah, it's wrong.
Okay, all right, it's wrong. Okay, so. Was there anybody else that you want to talk about?
No, I think that's it.
There was, as far as acting,
yeah.
You know, our comments on that.
Yeah, we can do rates.
All right, yeah. What are you at with this?
Are we doing numbers? Or are we doing 1 through 10? Are we doing letters?
Let's do letters.
Short answer, I'm going to give it a B+.
Okay.
I've pretty much touched on a lot of it. Okay. I really like the plot. I like the acting. I like the setting.
What didn't you like about the movie to where it didn't earn at least like an A-?
When you put it like that, I don't know what I didn't like about it.
I was just asking. I mean,
I don't know.
You could just say, I don't know, and we could move on.
I mean, I put it to like against like Troy and Gladiator and.
But those are, I think, different eras.
Yeah, but it's still like medieval, like swords and knights and stuff. That's fact. That's true.
Yeah, I think
it's very. You're telling me that this isn't. That's what else would you compare?
Just a different
what would you
plot,
compare
though.
The King to then? What type of movie would you compare it to?
I mean, okay, those are
obviously
the same.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I'm confused on what you're talking about.
I'm just. I don't. I felt like first off, those were all produced by major film entertainment companies.
Netflix is pretty big.
Yeah, but I mean, Netflix has to budget for other things as well.
Okay.
So like those were major projects that I felt like had the budget to be as grand and as large and as entertaining as they were.
Okay. So am I supposed to not take that into account?
I still think that with what Netflix did with this film,
it was a good movie.
It was a good movie.
Yes, I agree. B plus is a good movie.
Yeah. Okay. I was just asking why it was a B plus. Like, what didn't you like to where it was a B plus?
I just compare it to those movies. And okay, this yeah. is not, those right. are like A pluses.
Okay.
So I don't give it. If I had to say, I would say like Troy, I like it Troy better.
Okay.
I would say that's an A plus.
We're in the same area as far
and
as
then A minus would be like right behind those two. And I don't know if it was right behind those two, mm-hmm. but it was definitely a good movie.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
I'm just putting respect on Troy and Gladiator.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It was nothing that I was like, oh, that could have been better or that. I mean, everything that they did with the plot and the characters, I thought was good.
Yeah.
And I don't think they could have changed anything with what they were given.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I do agree with you. Again, like I said, I'm in the same area. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give this movie an A minus.
Okay.
I do think they did well enough to get into that A rating with what they, the plot that in which they were going for. The acting was phenomenal.
It was.
The battle scene in itself was really good. The quality in the picture, the quality in just the thought out of you know where to film it, everything about this movie I felt like flowed and went really well. You know, I think it could have definitely been a little bit larger, or
yeah,
I'm sorry, a little bit bigger and grander. And it could have definitely been in that A plus range. I think it needed more battle. I think
it definitely needed
needed at least one more big battle.
But I think that's where that budget might have come in.
True. And you're right. And that could have been a constraint that they had.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what this film is really missing was one more kind of not so big, I guess, as the last battle, but something in the middle to give us that excitement going into the last battle.
Yeah.
You know, this movie was long. This movie was really long. It was two hours and 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was pretty long.
You know, so to go through that.
With one battle.
With one big battle towards the end of the movie. You know, that's a lot of wait time to get to some exciting stuff. Right. I like dialogue, though. I'm a big fan on dialogue. I enjoy.
It tells the story.
I enjoy the development and the character development and the plot development. I like all of that. I just wish
a little bit more action.
There would have been a little bit more action.
A little bit more bloodshed.
Yeah.
I agree.
So that's where I stand. And again, we're in the same range. You give it a B plus, right?
Yep, B plus.
Okay, B plus, I give it an A minus. That is our general thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Not a whole lot of spoilers I think we're going to get into, but definitely going to get into some stuff.
Yeah, I'm thinking like there's only like so many like major points where we can like once we get into it.
Yeah.
There's only like I'm thinking like six things that we could talk about.
Yeah,
like it's like bam, bam, bam.
Yeah, it's a long movie, but you know, thinking back at it, it's not. You see what I'm saying? A whole lot going on.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
yeah. Which is kind of a knock on it, but you understand.
It is a knock.
You'll understand when you watch it. It's not a whole lot going on. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, you gotta watch the movie. But from what we've said. It's a good movie.
It is.
It's a good movie.
It really
you know,
is.
It's not going to be a waste of time if you enjoy films. Again, if you like historical kind of drama, action, bloodshed films. It's not really bloodshed.
It's really not because everyone's in armor.
Yeah, so it's not really bloodshed. It's not like blood
there's
spewing
that one,
everywhere.
I mean, there's a couple scenes.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like Troy, you know, or like Gladiator.
Like 300.
Know, or 300, yeah. Well, yeah. I think the blood on 300 was like computer generated, but still it was blood.
Yeah, but it's blood.
Yeah. So, but this one's, it's not.
It's nothing like
it's
that.
It's not like that. But
no.
The battle scene is pretty good. Okay. Well, I think that concludes our general thoughts on this movie, guys. If this is where we part ways, again, thank you so much for joining us here on episode 7 for The King. Go check it out. It's on Netflix now, released November 2nd this weekend. And it's a good definitely a good watch. So thank you guys so much for joining us. Go follow us on Twitter at Reel It In Podcast and on Instagram at Reel It In Podcast with underscores in between the words. Go follow again, guys. Our DMs are open.
Give yeah, hit us up.
Any suggestions you want. And anything else you wanted to say before?
No, yeah, just hit us up with suggestions and recommendations even. And anything you want to talk about, like, we're here for it.
Yeah.
We're here to kind of talk to our fans and everything.
For sure. And so we've got some good movies coming out.
Yeah, we do. We're excited.
Soon that, you know, again, we're going to be bringing you guys the new content for the new release movies. So go watch them. Go, you know, keep up with the movie releases and go watch these big movies that are coming out. And join us the following Monday. That's when our release dates are.
And you said that we're, what, at like 143?
We are at 143 followers on Instagram.
If we get more followers, we're doing another giveaway at 200.
Giveaway at 200. Coming
up.
Another two tickets, and a box of movie popcorn. So
yeah,
go follow, guys. Go. You know, share our podcast with your friends and family. And we're on Spotify, which is our main listening group or core. Where a lot of our listeners listen from, and then the Anchor app, which, fun fact, I forgot to put this on Fast Facts.
Didn't Spotify buy them?
Spotify bought Anchor app.
Yeah.
So that's exciting, guys. If you guys are actually considering starting a podcast, I think this would be a really good time to do it, because now Anchor app is a part of Spotify, and Spotify has invested a lot of money into the podcasting platform. They think there's a lot of money to be,
which there is
a lot of there's a market for podcasting. So now that Anchor app is a part of Spotify, that, you know, Spotify is committed to bringing more innovative ways to podcasting and how we utilize the app. So I'm excited for that. It's going to open up a lot of doors as far as what we can do, and possibly give us rights to maybe music, which would be super cool if we have a subscription with Spotify. I don't know, but that would be really cool, and again, opens up a lot of doors in regards to our show. So
yeah,
I'm excited, guys. Go check it out if you haven't heard or you want to look more into it. But again, thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next time, and we're going to get into some spoilers.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
All right, Gabe. So where do we want to start?
So we told them what the movie's about with them not going, getting along very much.
Right. With the fourth and the fifth.
Yep. So let's just get into him getting dragged into the room with his dad.
At what point?
What do you mean?
So because there's the room that he gets pulled in. Excuse me. That he gets pulled in when the dad wants to tell him that he's not going to be king.
Yeah, that's the.
Is that the one you're talking about, or when he gets pulled back in because he's being told he is going to be king?
I would thought we would go into the first one.
Okay.
Because
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about it.
All right.
So he gets pulled. His dad, the fourth, sends out some advisor to find the fifth, Timothée Chalamet, and bring him back to the court. That's what they call it. They call it court.
Yeah.
Because the fourth basically wants to tell Timothy that you're the oldest son, but based off of your behavior
and your lack of
interest.
Yeah, lack of interest of being king, because he just wasn't he ran away.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't want to be it.
Yeah. He basically tells him or just says, like, in general, the reason why I pulled you here or brought you here is to tell you to your face in front of all these people that even though you are the oldest son of mine, you are not going to be king.
Correct.
And he tells him, well, Thomas, who is the little brother, he's going to be king because even though he's weak, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, he said that. Right. I was like, wow. He just said that, like, in front of all the council and like the knights. And
he goes, even though he's the weaker of my two sons,
he's eager.
And he's eager to learn and be a king.
I was like, all right, well, let's see how long that lasts.
Best father of the year,
I guess.
Seriously,
dude.
Dude, I would. So anyway, he tells Timothy that, and the fifth. And so he's like, all right, well, I have no more to say to you. You can, you know, go back to
whatever you're doing,
whatever it is that you enjoy doing. And basically Thomas goes to fight. They have a bunch of enemies all around them, I guess. They have Wales, they have France, they have the Danes. Was it Denmark? No. It was another person. There was another enemy.
It was like four or five.
There's a lot. And basically, Thomas goes and takes the army, the English army, to go fight some traitors, which was a family that followed the crown but no longer does. And Timothy the Fifth shows up and is like, look, nobody has to shed blood because that's just his character. That's just who he is.
Yeah.
He goes, I will fight the son of the traitor, the leader of the traitors, and whoever wins, you know, we'll move forward.
Exactly.
And so the son eventually accepts, the traitor of the son of the traitor eventually accepts, and they fight. The Fifth kills him. And Thomas is like, this was supposed to be my fight, my battle, takes the army, goes to another battle. And dies.
Yeah, long story short, yeah.
Long story short. Like, Thomas does not.
And that's like very, very soon into the movie.
It's,
and that's
like
where
20 minutes, 25, 30 minutes into the movie.
I don't even know if it's that long. It's
you,
like 15,
you think it's shorter?
I think it's like 15, 20.
You think?
It's pretty soon. Maybe not. Maybe that's too fast.
I think it's too fast. I think it's like 30. I think it's like 30 to 45 minutes.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right.
This movie, I don't want to say this movie drags.
It does not go slow.
It does not. It doesn't go slow, but it doesn't go fast. You know?
That's, yeah. It's hard to put. I know what you're trying to say.
You know, it definitely
it's a long movie,
takes its time.
But it doesn't feel like you're like, okay, can you just get to the point?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, anyway, so that's in a sense of what happens with Thomas. And in the sense of why the Fifth becomes king, because he's the last option.
Yep.
And you know, I liked it. I liked.
You didn't wish there was a little bit more of a progression on how he became king?
I thought there. I honestly, now that you said that, I do wish that there would have been a little bit more push between the two brothers. I think.
Yeah.
I think that always it always adds to the movie when the two brothers actually want the throne. But it just it didn't work out, obviously, because Timothy's character is not that type.
Exactly.
So it kind of takes that aspect of these types of movies of people who want power, people who want
that friction.
Crown. Exactly, of that friction. It takes away from that.
But
so,
then again, that's a good thing because that's different.
It is different. It is different. It's a different story. It's a different, you know, way of us seeing these types of movies. And how they went about that was the brother, whether this be historically accurate or not, I don't know, again, if this is based off of actual events.
Yeah.
But they're like, okay, well, we'll send the brother to another battle and he'll die. Guess what? The Fifth, you're going to be king.
Yeah, which didn't last long. His stay.
What did you think about when he went to go visit his father after finding out his brother died? The Fourth.
I thought he was going to strangle him.
I really thought he was going to do, like, he was going to pull out a knife and, like, stab
him. Kill
him
himself. Which kind of goes against what his character is, but
exactly. Yeah, well,
but that's,
I mean,
what I
that's
thought.
Something in this movie that it really, if you think about it, he is kind of a hothead.
He is.
Which, you know, being a hothead, you don't really put being a hothead with he's also
peaceful.
A peaceful person.
Yeah.
You know, and so that also I thought was really different.
But then again,
different.
But we also mentioned that he knows the responsibilities of what he is, and that's just the time of what he had to do.
Yeah. He was not afraid of making the difficult decision.
Yeah.
Which made him powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, again, he just the way he portrayed his character.
And,
Timothy,
yeah, and then
I
Timothy, yeah, had,
he did a
he
really
handled that
good
really
job.
Good.
You know, because it is tough to portray a character in that's, this type of role that isn't all succumbed to the power.
Correct.
You know, that isn't full on board of, I'm the king, you do what I tell you, and that's that.
Mm-hmm.
He is very, look, I have a crown on my head, you respect it, and respect my wishes, and we'll be good.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of how he is.
But he'll also sit down and listen to you.
Yeah.
To
he's
what
a different type of ruler.
Yeah.
And it was very satisfying, I think, to see in this film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but again, even in his dad's deathbed, the Fourth, still showed that resentment of him. You know, he pulled the covers off. His dad was shivering. You know, he calls him a wretch.
Yeah.
And is like, looks him in his eyes while as he takes his last breath and basically stands up. He's crying, which I wonder if it was just anger.
Yeah.
You know, like basically know. It was a weird emotion that I was trying to understand in that scene. You know, I don't know if he was angry because his brother was too naive or not smart enough to understand the wrongs that his father, you know, the fourth had done.
Yeah.
And why he would follow those views and he got himself killed, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if he was just angry from all of that and that's why he was crying in a sense of like, you know, I'm glad you're dead, you know, dad. Like, I'm, you know.
Kind of like a closure. Like, finally, yeah. I can, like, move on with right. this and my, like, dragging but, me down.
Yeah.
Like, maybe a sense of, like, freedom. Like, I'm, like, finally free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was again, that was just a point when I was like, well, you know, is it happiness? Is it anger? Is it a mix of everything? You know, is it disappointment because now he technically has to be king? Which, again, I don't know how all that works. He probably could have just been like, no, I'm not going to be king. And then they would have figured it out from there. But it was just a lot of emotion that I was trying to understand.
Yeah, for sure.
In that particular moment.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about, I'm trying to think, what is another area? Let's talk about, you know, I don't want to talk about the battle because that's really the main.
That's at the end. Kinda.
Oh.
I think it would be the the guillotine scene type of stuff.
Okay. Oh, where his advisors?
Wouldn't that be? No?
When he,
that's his real source of like, hey, I'm the real deal. Like I'm
that
here.
Was his first
like big call.
Big call. Yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah, go
so,
for it.
So basically, at this point of the movie, he gets some information that a couple of his advisors, his noble advisors, have been conversing with France.
Yeah, tipping off his pitches.
Tipping off, you know, what he's been doing. And he finds out about it. Mm-hmm. And so basically, you know, at this point, France has kind of toyed with him. Has sent him some insulting gifts.
Saying that he's weak.
They don't acknowledge him as being a true ruler. And, you know, Timothy is kind of just like, all right, whatever. You know, let them
talk
and make, you know, have them feel good about themselves. Like, you know, whatever. It wasn't until his advisor started talking to the French kind of spies or advisors that, you know, they went to, and that was a stupid move on their part. They went to the basically the right hand man advisor for Timothy, for the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in that situation, the advisor goes to Timothy and is like, hey, we have some people talking that, you know, France is planning for your removal.
Yeah.
You know, they do not want you to be king.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are gonna listen. People are not gonna back you, and we're gonna get into a very sticky situation if we don't do something about it. And so basically, Timothy gets these names, and he's burdened by his real first big decision.
Yeah,
which for him is very, you know, again, he's very non-bloodshed, but this is the first decision where it's like,
this is the business.
This is who you have to be.
Yeah. And this time, yeah.
And this is how you have to show force and show power and show, you know, the fact that you should be sitting on this throne.
Mm-hmm.
And the advisor is like, what do you want to do? So
This is gangster, dude.
This is real gangster, dude.
Bro, this is some OG stuff, dude.
I had respect for him in this moment. But go ahead.
Walk of shame, dude.
Dude, I want you, go ahead. You take it.
So he sends these two guys and he talks to him and he says, paraphrase, he just says, we're gonna start a war with France and you're the two guys that are gonna go tell them. Oh, you're gonna go tell them, and then you're gonna come back and we're gonna execute you. Which is gangster.
Yeah.
AF, dude.
Yeah. That's insane. I mean, talk about a power move.
Dude, legit. You're going to go tell them we're going to kill them and fight them, and then you're going to come back and we're going to kill you.
Yeah. You're going to come back with my trusted men and your heads are going to get chopped off.
Yeah.
And they do.
Yeah.
Very vividly.
Which was a good, that was good animation, was. Though, whatever. CGI, I guess.
They are not shy from putting that on the screen.
Yeah, it was legit.
I enjoyed it. I did. And that, again, was the start of really, I think, the Fifth's understanding of I've got to make tough decisions.
Like a balance.
Yeah. And so, you know, that kind of sends him on his path and on his way. And I liked it. I thought in that time, you have to be that way.
It's just how it was.
It's just the time. It's, you know, people will respect you out of fear. And that's how you ruled. And hey, I mean, I'm all for it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was cool.
Let's talk about the first meeting between the Fifth and the Dolphin,
mm-hmm.
with Robert Pattinson. It amazes me how calm
he stayed.
He stayed.
Yeah.
In that situation.
Yeah.
I was really wanting him to just to show more emotion, as the Dolphin was.
Yeah.
You know, he was saying all sorts of crap
about how he was gonna kill the women, the children.
Dare he come to France, step on the soil, and how he respects you because you have big balls,
but you got a pecker.
Tiny pecker. And
he's
tiny
gonna
penis.
Bury him underneath a tree.
Oh, dude, it was rough, and I don't know where they met. Did they meet in the English camp?
Yeah, I think they did.
Right?
I think they rode into the camp.
It would have been so easy.
Which is also super gangster about how it was back in the day.
Yeah.
How it was like so respect. It was like, dang, that's like a French guy. But like, we can't fight him because we're not like on the battlefield.
Yeah.
But he's going to go straight up to our king and have a conversation with our
that's
king.
That's straight honor.
Dude, that's like.
At that point.
That's respect, dude.
Yeah. I mean, in gangsters nowadays, it's like you're not leaving this tent alive.
It's like on site. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the fact that it's like, you say all these things, you insult me to my face.
Literally insult me to my face. Like
in front of my men.
In front of, yeah, like about to go to sleep.
Dude.
Like it's like nighttime. It's like, damn, like that's OG stuff.
Dude, and says goodnight to him.
Yeah, yeah. And then he was like, yeah, goodnight.
Yeah, the Dolphin's like, did you hear what I said? And he goes, I did. It was a little bit stirring.
Good night.
But good night.
Yeah.
Mic drop.
Yeah, that's gangsta
mic
shit
drop
right there.
The Dolphin would not have left alive if that were me.
If I was the king, yeah, I would have
just looked at my guys and just said, just kill them. Just all of them.
Yeah.
But for him to stay calm in that situation, I think worked to his benefit.
Yeah.
You know? So, because if you kill him there, who knows if you win that next battle.
Yeah.
You know, they might say, screw it. Let's regroup.
Yeah.
It changes the whole scheme.
Exactly. The surprise,
the plan. Yeah.
The plan.
It's so, you know, it's all about, I guess, how you handle things. And, the Fifth understood that. No, you're fine.
Sorry.
No, you're good. The Fifth understood that. So I really appreciated that scene. I thought that was a really, really well done scene, not just acting wise, but writing,
mm-hmm.
You know, just how, you know, the people behind making that scene happen in the writing and the screenplay of it.
Oh yeah.
I thought it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really well done.
Yeah.
That was like midway through the movie.
Yeah, we're moving along.
Next
scene is the three kids.
Let's talk about that scene.
Gathering wood and water for
Let's talk
for
about
troops.
That scene because that came out of right field.
It was literally like immediately after, right?
It was, yeah.
It was, I think. Because he was like saying, if you don't leave a retreat, we're going to have a problem, pretty much, is what the Dolphin was saying.
Yeah. He was just like, he's like, turn your ships around, go back home, never step foot on France soil again.
Yeah.
Or surrender now because you're all going to die.
Yeah.
Basically.
So they don't. They stay.
Obviously.
And there's these three kids and they're gathering wood and water, maybe some other things. I'm not sure. And all of a sudden you see these three guys just like with crossbows and a sword. And one crossbows a kid in the back and the other one stabs another one. Sneaks up on them with a knife and stabs them. And then the third kid runs away. And he's running. And Robert Pattinson, the Delphine, grabs him. And he's like, hey, stop, stop. Like, you okay? You okay? I just need you to do me a favor, blah, blah, blah. I need you to take something from my king, to your king. And I once he said that, I was like, damn, he's about to give him the head of one of the kids. Dude. So he gives the kid to take a severed head of one of the kids that he was with to the king and show him he's all bloody with a kid holding a kid's head, just like, and you see it all, like, it's very, the head looked very realistic.
Yeah, they did a really good job with that.
Yeah, and it was just like, damn,
that was rough. It almost helps portray the figure and the character of the Dolphin.
Yeah.
He almost looks and seems crazy.
Yeah.
And I think this act really almost solidifies that.
Well, when he was talking and doing all those insults in the tent, I thought he was going to be some like wimpy, like little guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, he's just talking out of his ass. Yeah. But then all of a sudden this kid's holding kid's head. And I was like, well, here we are.
Yeah. That's a good point that you make. You know, I you don't know who someone is until their actions.
Exactly.
And you know, the Delphin is a man of his word. He will kill anyone and everyone if he doesn't get his way.
Exactly.
And but I mean, they use that to their advantage,
mm-hmm.
in a sense. You know, because they basically you know, Falstaff basically says in the middle of the movie, when they land in France, which I thought was really, really weird, because when we were watching the movie, my father had mentioned it and I was thinking it at the time. But when they're in France and they're kind of going through their campaign, when the Fifth asks for advice, everybody gives their word or their advice, except for Falstaff.
Yeah,
he doesn't say anything.
Mm-mm.
Ever. And you know, so
he just, he like points out the obvious.
He points out the obvious, but he keeps it very short, very simple, or he didn't give any advice at all. And the Fifth eventually catches on to that. He's, you know,
he's like, why are you doing this? Like,
why aren't you telling me what your advice is? And you know, Falstaff is like, you know, the person I am, like, I will tell you the truth when I know it. You know, and I speak the truth, but I will not speak.
Just to speak.
Mm-hmm. Which is honorable, which is respectful, right? It's like, why would you just spit words if there's no meaning behind them?
Correct.
And, you know, so Falstaff was definitely a person and a follower of the Fifth in the most sense of the word, as mm-hmm. a... He really saw the Fifth as a leader.
Yeah.
And respected that.
Which he was.
And he was. So, you know, it was really, really cool to see that. But the Dolphin is just, he really came off to me as kind of a crazy individual. And when he did that with the kids, that's kind of like, I was like,
yeah, I was like, oh, fool. Okay.
But, so this is where I was going to go with that, is that, so when the Dolphin and the Fifth have that meeting in the English camp, you know, he's insulting him, all that stuff.
Yeah, we kind of...
Prior to that, Falstaff was asked about what to do or how to proceed with the Dolphin and, mm-hmm. and the forces that they might meet. And Falstaff, his response to that was, I don't know, I've never met the guy.
Yeah.
And so that moment was the first time that they met.
Correct.
And so when they get to kind of like the final end battle area, they are met with odds stacked heavily against them, because yeah. they are on the bottom of a hill slope.
It seems like 10-1 almost is what
they were
like.
Outmanned, they were out armored. You know, the French had horses. You know, they're in their home soil. They are well supplied. It's a lot of stuff going against the English.
The English are hungry. A lot of them are fighting diseases.
Yep. And it's just, it's not going well. Right. Yeah. And so this is really where Falstaff, well, the advisors themselves are like, well, one of them, he goes,
there's no way we can do this.
This isn't plausible. There's no way we come out of this on top. And, you know, they suggest possibly just going home.
Yeah.
Just screw it. We'll live to fight another day. And again, based off of who we know of Falstaff goes, no, this could work. We can win. We just got to think about it plausibly.
Yeah.
But I think he wouldn't have said that had he not known the type of person the Dolphin is.
I agree.
And you don't really think about that at the time. I just kind of thought about that now. But, mm-hmm. you know, he might have not said anything. He might have agreed and said, screw it. Let's go home.
I don't know how this guy will react.
I don't know how this guy is going to react. But I think just based off that conversation with the Dolphin in the fifth and the tenth, that he kind of had he got that grasp of this guy will do anything to completely demolish his enemy.
Correct.
And they use that to their favor.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was, you know, sometimes that could be cheesy, right? In a sense of how they go about that, like, you know, but just the development of the characters, I thought it was very well done.
Yeah.
You know, they get to the final, you know, they're going through this conversation and Falstaff's like, look, if it rains tonight, which I know it will.
Yeah, I was just like, okay.
I'm like, all right, it's one of those. It's gonna be one of those speeches. Like, okay, whatever. You know, he's just like, there's a possibility. You know, there's a possibility. They're gonna be, they're not
heavy
they're
gonna, armor.
They're gonna be heavy armor, heavily armored. They're gonna have horses. They're gonna be heavy. They're weight wise.
It'll be muddy.
It's gonna be muddy
if it rains.
They're gonna sink in the mud.
It won't be able to move. And we'll fight.
Sitting targets.
And we'll fight in no armor.
No armor. We've got the best longbowmen in the world.
The world.
And he goes, we can use this to our advantage, but we need the full army to commit to the attack.
Yeah.
We can't have anybody coming in late to the party when we attack.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're just outnumbered. So the last battle sequence was great.
Yeah.
with their plan. What did you think of Falstaff's
little
last hurrah?
Wait, it was just like a huge mosh pit?
It was just a huge mosh pit.
I guess that's how it used to be, I guess.
It was crazy to think of, because
because you don't see that in different movies, like other movies like that in the past, where no. It's like a legit mosh pit. Like there's literally no space. He had no idea where he was going because he was just getting pushed around like in a wave.
Yeah.
So like,
we don't even see really how he dies.
No, we don't.
I think it's just from pure suffocation.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, because when we leave him in the last part of the show or the last part of the movie,
he's on the ground.
He's trying to gasp for air.
Oh, that's right.
He's like trying to hold himself above all the crowd and like trying to breathe.
Yeah.
And he just can't. So I think I legit think that's how he dies.
It's suffocation.
Just strictly from not being able to breathe.
Maybe.
And you know, it was just crazy to see that type of battle sequence, because you're right. You don't really see that very often.
Because usually it's like space and it's like one-on-ones like within the little areas.
Right.
And like, yeah. So it was different.
These dudes are just all in one tight.
Some are falling down. Some are getting their heads trampled. They're stampede almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was like, it was interesting. It wasn't like one of those like, oh my God, it was a crazy fight. Because there was not much fighting. It was just a lot of pushing.
Right.
And then stabs here and there. But like, it was still interesting.
It was really interesting. It was a different style of fighting.
Yeah.
I think in a sense of war. Excuse me. But I enjoyed it. I thought, you know, the war plan was well thought out. You know, they anticipated the Dolphin's way of fighting and his plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out in their favor. What I didn't understand in this last battle was, all of them were fighting in that heavy armor there at the beginning.
Yeah.
And towards a majority of the fight.
Uh-huh.
But then the Dolphin gets out there and can barely stand. when he tries to fight the fifth.
Yeah.
He can't even stand.
But they had like everyone leaning on each other.
True.
Maybe that's why it was like a mosh pit.
True, because everybody was just so close together that even though if you were trying to slip, you weren't, because
you were
knocking
out
other bodies. That's true.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, I didn't think about it that way. But so that's why I was kind of confused, because I was just like, wait a minute. I was like, you're about to kill this character off in this movie because he can't even stand in the mud. I was like, really?
Yeah.
But I didn't think of it that way. So that could have, you're right, that could have been the way or
what
was happening.
Yeah.
Because
you still also had like horses and stuff.
Yeah.
In that mosh pit.
Yeah.
That was standing up kind of well.
Yeah.
I guess.
What did you think about the fifth not delivering the last blow?
I don't know. I guess it was fine, I guess.
I didn't like that. That was one of my...
But then again, like, you're going to kill a guy, I just can't... But then, I don't know.
I felt like it would have been I feel like it's an opportunity miss.
For him to just look him in the eyes and just, like, fold his head back and just go...
For a one-liner.
Yeah.
You know? Like a one-liner, and then like his men start like screaming and shouting.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, obviously, yeah. I agree.
You know, and I don't know.
But I also wish that guy wasn't just slipping around everywhere. I wish they actually fought.
And I think I was looking forward to that too. I was looking forward to the actual fight and the whole like, well, you know, the whole reason why they weren't wearing armor was to be a little bit swifter, a little bit faster than the French who were in their heavy knight armor.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted to see that really portrayed in this one-on-one fight between the Dauphine and the Fifth as an advantage.
Which you did see it before that when the Fifth was out in the battlefield.
Yeah.
And he was going from one person to another just like boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
But like it would have been a little bit more visible if it was a one-on-one situation.
Yeah. But again, you know, that's... the way they did it was still okay.
Yeah.
The way they did it was still fine. It still, you know, it still had essentially the same effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just a few of his men. Instead of him killing the Dauphine, he just kind of
put
five guys just go and stab him like to death.
Yeah. Because it just wasn't worth his time.
So, you know, it kind of sends a message of like, you know, you're not worth it.
Yeah.
Which can also be a diss in itself.
Yeah.
What did you think about, because right after, and I don't know if you picked this up, but right after, you know, the battle ends, he goes and finds Falstaff. He's dead.
Yeah.
they basically tell the Fifth, hey, it's going to be very, very, very difficult for us to keep all of these French soldiers in line.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'll be bad news if they get away and they regroup with their troops.
Yes.
Do you think he made that decision because he lost Falstaff?
See, that's why I'm confused, because before that, he wanted to kill some prisoners before that, and Falstaff was like, hey, that's not who you are, and that's not who I am, so if you want that to happen, you better go do it yourself, because I'm not going to have that blood on my hands.
Right.
And so he doesn't do it, so he talks him out of it.
Because he tells him that's not the person you are.
Yeah. So
the Fifth.
Yeah, exactly. Which he's not.
He's not.
So fast forward
to
that part, and he goes, kill them all.
Yeah.
And I'm just like...
And they go through with it.
I'm like, that's like, I know you just lost your best friend and everything, but like that's the complete opposite of what y'all discussed that one time, and he talked you out of it. So like I was a little confused, because I was like, if I was him, I mean, obviously I wouldn't know what I would have done, but it was just different.
Yeah.
But maybe it was him just being mad about he just lost his boy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I thought that was going to be like a point where like the Fifth, King Harry the Fifth, started being a different person. But that really necessarily wasn't the case. I think it was just a fact that
he just lost his friend.
He lost his friend. You know, it was due to a stupid reason such as war. For a nation that he really didn't even give a crap about, but he only did it because somebody tried to assassinate him, And so they say. And, you know, it was just one of those moments where it was just like, you know what? I don't even care. Kill them all.
Yeah.
So I just mentioned, so they say, we come to find out the assassination attempt, which started this whole entire war, wasn't even a true assassination attempt by France.
Because, yeah.
None of them. The Dauphin didn't have anything to do with it. Mm-hmm. The father had nothing to do with it. The woman who, the princess, who is now betrothed, so to speak, or, you know, is Timothy the Fifth's soon to be wife, or I don't know if they actually got married. I think they're just like together. She basically like asked the Fifth, Timothy, like, why did you wage war on France?
For nothing.
Like, what? Like, we didn't do anything to you. And he's like, what are you talking about? Y'all tried to assassinate me. You sent an assassin to try to kill me.
Exactly.
And she was just like, my brother did not, which was the Dauphin.
He was like, okay, what about your father?
And she goes,
I was with him.
He's basically mad, but like, I know when he's telling the truth. Yeah. He had nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Comes to find out that the right-hand man of the Fifth
Made it up.
Because his view on it was,
We
needed to fight this fight. We needed to be victorious in this fight.
To bring peace to our country.
And unity within our country.
Correct.
Which it did. But the Fifth did not like that.
Which, for good reason.
And he just stabs him in the back of the head.
Which was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
He was like, the guy was like, not begging, but he was just trying, he was just like at his knees, like bowing to him.
Yeah.
He wasn't begging for anything because he didn't know he was going to get killed.
No, he was doing that because I think he did truly respect and you know, saw him as a true king.
Yeah.
You know, I do think he was just trying to just show his allegiance. Like, I'm doing this for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Timothy's character is just, he's not for it. He doesn't like dishonesty. He sees lying and distrust as you know, disloyalty.
Yes.
And you're going against me. And he kills him for it. Mm-hmm. And that's basically where the movie ends.
Yeah.
So that was a cool kind of twist.
Yeah. I was like, damn, he did that for nothing.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, and that's essentially how he felt about it. He's like, I did all of that.
And you lost your friend for nothing.
Lost my friend. Lost so many Christian lives on both sides because they both believed in Catholicism.
Yeah.
All that because somebody lied.
Literally. That would have been rough for me to swallow. To have my best friend get killed for nothing.
Yeah. Wow. So again, that's just a good kind of tip of the hat to the plot and the writers because we definitely was not expecting that there towards the end. So it just definitely gave it kind of that extra, you know,
plot twist.
And
it made it a little bit. It made it better.
It made it better.
It did.
So this movie, The King, guys, it, on Netflix now. It's an easy watch.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an easy watch. It's a fantastic movie.
Good acting. Good plot.
The action within the movie is pretty good. Good plot, good sceneries. And it's 7.4 out of 10 on IMDb and a 71% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think that's a little low as far as this percentage on Rotten Tomatoes. But again, go check it out. I think it's a good watch.
Yeah. It is good.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so much, guys, for joining us. We appreciate it. At Reel It In Podcast on Twitter and at Reel It In Podcast on Instagram with underscores in between the words. We will be having another giveaway at 200 followers, which we are close. We need 57 more people.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going to continue to follow people. We're going to continue to try to expand our outreach. We have a lot of followers from different podcasts. You know, guys, if you listen to this podcast and you want us to give you a shout out on here, we'll do that. You know, let's exchange
numbers and
we'll
maybe
shout out your podcast. We just ask maybe you guys give us a shout out.
You know,
it'd
be so cool as if we had like guest speakers from different podcasts.
That would be cool, guys. If you want to be a guest speaker, if you are interested in movies and you're wanting to talk about movies with us,
and then we can talk about your podcast.
Let us know.
Because I'm always open for just kind of meeting new people and everything.
Yeah.
And having a little something in common.
Yeah.
It doesn't, y'all's podcast doesn't have to be about movies. It
no.
can be about anything.
No, everybody has thoughts and opinions about everything.
Exactly.
And, you know, so if you want to be a part of this, you know, let us know. DM us again at Reel It In Podcast on Twitter, at Reel It In Podcast on Instagram with underscores in between the words. Thank you guys so much. We hope you enjoyed this this episode. This was one of our a really good movie and probably one of my favorite episodes with the new equipment so far.
Yes.
So, you know, we're going to be coming back either next week or the following week. We will let you know. Again, a lot of good movies coming our way, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Did you want to do some recommendations? Did you have any recommendations?
I'm trying to think if I had any. Because my recommendation was going to be Spider-Verse, but it was just an announcement.
We talked about it. We already talked about that. Well, so then you know what? Let's go ahead and let's call it a day then. Let's call it a day, right?
Okay.
Here. All right, guys. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next time here at Reel It In.
We'll see you, yeah.
All right. Y'all have a good one.
All right. Take it easy.